Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We'll look at the Word in just a moment or two, but before we do, we would like to remind you that it's very important for you to write us your card or letter this week, if you have not already done so, and let us know that you are hearing the program, the messages from the Word of God, and let us know that if the message is a blessing in your heart and life. We have a responsibility as good stewards of time and money, which God has committed to our care, to send out the word in those areas where it is benefiting those who listen. Your letter helps us to know that. Write your letter today. Our mailing address is given at the conclusion of our message. And now shall we bow our heads together and ask God to help us in our understanding of the word today. Our Father, we are grateful that we can come to you today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and realize that thou dost listen to us. Thou hast promised if we come in that name, thou wilt hear us. We ask that thou wilt meet our needs today. We do not have the opportunity of voicing every need, but thou dost search the hearts and thou dost know, and we ask that thou wilt meet those needs today in a way that will bring glory to your name and encouragement to our hearts. We ask now that as we look into thy word this moment, thou wilt open the word that we might be able to behold truth. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew, that portion of the Word of God that we have been thinking about together for some days now. I would invite you to open your Bibles to the 4th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and prepare in a moment or two to notice with me the first 11 verses, because we want to begin a discussion of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This paragraph will reveal that the temptation of the Lord Jesus followed the baptism, but each gospel writer emphasizes the incident in a little different way. And it will be helpful for us, I think, to recognize exactly what was said related to the baptism and the temptation by each gospel writer. So as we glance at Matthew's account, we notice the word then. Matthew said then. And the idea is that as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ stepped out of the water, he was in the wilderness for his temptation. Mark uses the word immediately, and that's a favorite word with Mark in his gospel. It emphasizes even a quicker entrance into the temptation to which we refer. Luke, however, says something a little different. He says that Christ turned away from the Jordan and was led into the wilderness. Now, there is no contradiction in these accounts. Each one of them simply emphasizes the truth as the individual writer was led by the Spirit of God to do. Luke puts it very plainly when he says, he returned from the Jordan and was led into the wilderness, indicating that the wilderness was some distance from the Jordan River. Luke, being a physician, was interested in accurate details. He wanted everyone to know that the temptation did not occur in a wilderness close by the River Jordan. Before we read the details recorded in Matthew chapter 4, I want you to think with me about something that is vital if you are to understand the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me about something that is vital if you're going to be able to understand your own temptation, which you may be experiencing, and certainly which you will experience if you go on with God. There are many believers today who have some strange ideas, strange feelings, strange inclinations, and they don't know why they have such things. So often that they are so confused about the whole matter that they throw in the towel, so to speak, or surrender because they've been misled by some well-meaning preacher with the idea that the moment they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, all of their troubles are over. I would like to emphasize what I've said to you a number of times, and that is, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, in one sense of the word, then will your trouble begin. The devil, as I have said rather prosaically, never really has cared about anyone that he already has. He never has cared about anyone who is already doing what he wants them to do. He actually owns them, in a sense. He's concerned about the folk, on the other hand, whom he doesn't have. He's concerned about the folk who belong to the Lord and are walking in fellowship with the Lord, and consequently are not going to obey the devil and follow his temptations. When we come to the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, of course, run into a real problem in the minds of many people, and that is the question, why? Why was the Lord Jesus Christ tempted? So I would like for you to think with me, briefly, about the purpose of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was Jesus Christ tempted? We need to have this clear in our mind before we study the actual account given in Matthew. So let us approach the question, why was the Lord Jesus tempted, from a negative standpoint, and suggest to you that the purpose of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ was not to see if he, the Lord Jesus Christ, could sin. Let me repeat that. The temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ was not to see if the Lord Jesus Christ could sin. I do not know of a greater error taught in relation to the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ than the error that is being taught by some today, that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted to see if he could sin. Now, someone may say, do you mean to say that even though the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, he could not sin? That's exactly what I mean to say. Well, almost immediately upon the heels of that question, then, comes another. Well, if he could not sin, why was he tempted? Well, we're going to have to wait for the answer to that question for a few moments, because I certainly don't expect you to believe just what I say because I say it. When I say that the Lord Jesus Christ could not sin, we must prove that by letting the Word of God speak for us. Turn with me, please, to the Epistle of James, chapter 1, and notice one statement among a number that will answer the question, could the Lord Jesus Christ sin? Notice James, chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Notice the statement, God cannot be tempted with evil. God does not tempt any man to sin, and God himself cannot be tempted to sin. Now this verse, if it says anything at all, says that God could stand, as did the Lord Jesus Christ, before the devil, and the devil could lay all manner of sin before his eyes, and he would not be moved by it one bit. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Now, you are tempted, I'm sure. I am tempted. Well, every believer is tempted. Some of us may be able to understand. Some of us may be able to withstand the temptation better than others. But all of us face this. All of us waver to some extent in the face of temptation. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, never wavered in the face of temptation, because God, the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot be tempted with evil. We are discussing the purpose of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he could not sin. So we ask you to turn with us to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and notice another suggestion concerning the temptation of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we read, "For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Notice the phrase, "tempted like as we are." If the Lord Jesus Christ had some special kind of temptation that we don't have, this passage of Scripture does not mean what it says. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil, his temptations, as we shall see before we're through with our discussion in successive studies, his temptations were exactly the same kind of temptations that you and I face. But notice particularly the statement in verse 15, "yet without sin." Now, reading that in the King James text, as we have, it could mean that he was tempted, but he didn't sin. And if that's what it meant, of course, it wouldn't prove anything. You've been tempted numbers of times and you haven't sinned. The statement, "yet without sin," is a statement that needs a bit of examination in the light of the original text. So we suggest to you that the word "without" is the translation of the Greek word "chorus," which means a space apart. A space apart. That tells the story that we need to have told to us. It tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, yet he did not have a sin nature. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, yet sin was far removed from him. The picture here is of the Lord Jesus Christ, and way over a great distance, a space apart, is the sin nature that is in every human being. So it was absolutely impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to sin. From a negative standpoint, the Lord Jesus Christ was not tempted to see if he could sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted apart from sin. We must leave you now. Do remember to pray for us. And may God bless each one of you today.